This is the beginning of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope already stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the same message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learnt it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all the power according to the glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Can you, at the tops of your voices, after I count to three, shout, "Hello upstairs"? One, two, three.
Hello!
And can you, upstairs, at the tops of your voices, shout, "Hello downstairs"? One, two, three. Friends, there is something very, very good about human beings. It just takes a beautiful piece of music, an incredible oil painting, a home video of a two-year-old blowing out their birthday candles, or a firefighter carrying someone to rescue out of a burning building, for us to see that there is something very, very good about us. And it takes just a single episode of the 10 o'clock news to see also there is something really messed up about us too. We see the mess in the headlines, from celebrity breakdowns through to wars. And we also see it, if you're anything like me, in our day to day. Maybe just to check, could you raise your hand if you have absolutely no problems, hang-ups, or fears? Just raise your hand now. Whew, okay. So I think you know what I'm talking about. In our Bible reading that Amelia read to us, we hear about a small group of people who, having realized that they are both very good and very messed up, they've decided to give their lives to Jesus. They've come to know the love of Father God through Jesus. And God is giving them a life makeover. This is a group of people who lived in the first century in a little backwater of the Roman Empire called Colossae. And they heard about Jesus through a guy called Epaphras. And they've decided to commit their lives as Christians. And as a brand new mini church, they are beginning to experience the repair and the redemption of Father God's love and instruction. And writing to this church, the author of the letter, the beginning of which we just heard, is a chap called Paul. Paul, who made it his life's mission to eradicate and wipe out every Christian from the face of the earth, who then went on to meet Jesus and then became the biggest church planter that the world has ever known. And Paul hears about this little church. He's not been there yet, but he hears about this little church from Epaphras, and he decides to write to them, not knowing that 2,000 years later, in a very different part of the world, we would be reading the same letter over their shoulders. Let's cut in at verse 3. Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing through the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." You get the impression Paul is rather excited about this group of people. He's never met them. All he has is this secondhand report. And yet he is excited because he knows once Jesus gets hold of a group of lives, Jesus begins to make these lives extraordinary. "For this reason," he continues, "since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." It is clear Paul is excited about these people living in a little backwater town in the Roman Empire. He knows that whatever lives they had before, comfortable, normal, unhappy, maybe desperate, whatever lives they had before, they are now following Jesus, and what's good in their lives is about to be uberfied, and what is messed up in their lives is being repaired. And then Paul gets to his climax verse. It's something about Christianity. It's a feature of Christianity which is unique to Christianity. You don't find it in any other world religion or any other philosophy or any other way of doing life. "For he has rescued us," God has rescued us "from the dominion of darkness," writes Paul, "and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The Bible tells us that however good we are, every one of us has problems, hang-ups, and fears. Our bodies malfunction. Our minds become anxious. Relationships end. Maybe a loved one dies. We do and we say things we bitterly regret and wish we hadn't. The truth is, our lives are full of mess and they're full of mistakes. And sometimes they're full of pain. The word that Paul uses to describe this is sin. Now, sin is a word that means different things to lots of different people. If you're in Weight Watchers, sin is a biscuit too many. If you're a Southern Baptist preacher, then sin is a four-syllable word. Sa-i-ya-na. Well, there's original sin. I love what Eddie Izzard says about original sin. Original sin is when you go to a priest and you say, "Oh, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. I've stolen something from work." And the priest said, "Ah, I've heard it before." "What? I've heard it before. Bring me an original sin." "Oh, very sorry." So the next day you come back and say, "Forgive me, Father, for I've poked a badger with a spoon." "That is an original sin. Thank you very much." This idea of sin popped up in one of our carols earlier. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." I mean, if ever there was a description of the 10 o'clock news, in my mind, that's it. What Paul means by sin is the things that we do to others and the things that others do to us that mess up our lives. And to this ragtag bunch of Christians living in Colossae, Paul announces the mind-blowing good news that Jesus can rescue us, he can forgive us, he can redeem and heal and set us free. That can deserve an amen, maybe, or a cheer. Or, do you know, that's great. When Matty said earlier that he'd become a born-again Christian, in my chair I wanted to go, "Way! Can we go way-hey or give a cheer now?" A belated one. The good news about Jesus is that he can set us free from the things that tie us down and that bring mess and pain and sorrow. Jesus can give us a new start. He can give us a clear out. Or as another carol puts it, he can save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. As the new landlord of our lives, Jesus can take away every bit of junk. There was once a man, and this man lived in a mobile home, a caravan. And it was a small caravan with a little lawn at the front surrounded by a white fence. And he lived on his own. He didn't have many visitors. In fact, the only person who visited him really regularly was his horrible landlord. And it was the same every time the landlord turned up. Boom, 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 boom. The guy's heart would sink. He'd open the door. And the landlord would be standing there holding a piece of rubbish, piece of litter that he'd found somewhere on the property. "Is this yours?" "Terribly, terribly sorry." "Well, what are you going to do with it? Do something with it." And all the man could think to do was to take the litter and just take it inside. "I found that on your lawn. Sorry, I found that on my lawn. Let there not be any more of it." And the guy would go in and close the door. Well, again and again this happened over the years. The landlord showing up at any given hour and holding up any and every piece of litter that he found on the plot. And all the guy could think to do was to say sorry and feel ashamed and take it inside and put it in his caravan. Well, you would be amazed how much litter and rubbish you can fit into a little caravan. At first, of course, he put it in the bins. But when the bins became full, he decided to store it under the sink. But that became full too, so he decided to put it in the kitchen cupboards. But when they were full, he stuffed it under his bed. And when that became full, he went out into the living room and began to compact it into little cubes and stack it neatly within his living quarters. And when his living quarters were full, he went into the bathroom and did the same there in the kitchen until eventually, he could hardly live at all. Well, one day, there was a different knock on the door. It was a cheerful knock. It went rat ta tat tat tat. "Who's this?" thought the man as he edged his way through the piles and opened the door. "Hello," said a cheerful-looking chap. "I'm your new landlord." "Oh," he said. "Where's the other one?" "I got rid of him." "So, I'm here to look after you. How are you getting on? How's the plumbing? How's the electricity? Are the other tenants treating you okay?" Well, the man just looked in astonishment. And as he did, a little piece of litter turned over on the lawn, blown by the breeze. It made a rustling sound. And the new landlord turned and looked at it. "I'll get that for you." And he went down, picked it up, pulled out a bin line, and stuck it in the bin. The man just looked in astonishment. And as he did, the new landlord looked over his shoulder and said, "Can't help but notice you've... appear to have rather a lot of that stuff in your caravan. Oh, sorry, I mean, in my caravan. That can't be very pleasant for you, living in such a confined way. I tell you what, I'm your landlord. It's my responsibility. Why don't I get rid of it for you? I'll have a clear out." Well, the guy just didn't know what to say. He was too astonished to really say anything. So the landlord said, "Do you know what? I tell you what, no pressure. How about I come back tomorrow? And if you want, I'll come in and I'll help you out." "Yes," said the man. "That would be fine. Okay, same time tomorrow." Well, the following day, the landlord came back. And this time he was armed with dozens of bin liners. Knocked the same knock, rat ta tat tat tat, and the door opened. And the landlord said, "Hi, I'm here again. Have you thought about my offer?" And the man said, yes, I have. I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I have thought a lot about it. And yes, please." "Great," said the landlord. "Where do you want me to start?" At which point, the man let him inside. The new landlord set to work, whistling as he went, whistling as he worked, and singing, and sort of chuckling and laughing as he took great swathes of litter and rubbish, stuffed it in bin liners, and chucked it out onto the front lawn. And as he did, he laughed more. And as he laughed, the man whose caravan it was began to sort of laugh along too, just a little tentative chuckle to begin with. And before long, as he saw what was happening, big belly laughs of joy as he sat down in his now cleared living space, laughing at the transformation. When the landlord had finished, he looked around and said, "Hey, looks like you've got a lot of room here now. Why don't I go and get you a few new things, you know, brighten the place up. Maybe replace some of that stuff that you had. TV, pot plant, radio. What do you think?" And the guy whose caravan it was laughing. He was saying, yeah, that would be great. "Yes, please. Okay, let's go together." The landlord began to make for the door. And as he did, and the owner and the man was behind him, a little piece of litter turned over on the lawn. It made a rustling sound. And out of instinct, the man in the caravan ran out and snatched the litter and was about to take it inside when he stopped and he looked at this mysterious new man in his life. And he deliberated for a moment and then fixed eyes with his new landlord, held out the rubbish and said, "Would you take this for me?" Paul is writing to a little ragtag band of Christians in the first century of Colossae. And he tells them, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I wonder, would you like that? Would you like that? Because it's on offer this evening. See, whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or whether you have yet to get to know Jesus, the invitation to us all is to come and invite Jesus to give us a fresh start. So I'm going to pray now, and you are warmly invited to pray along with me. If it helps you to pray, close your eyes. But I'm going to pray along. And if you would like to, I'm going to encourage you to echo the prayer that I pray in your heart and make it your own prayer. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the offer to be able to live without the fears, without the frailties, without the hang-ups, without the problems that can sometimes confine and consume us, can clutter up our lives. Lord, I see my own clutter. I see the mess in my life. And Lord, where it has been done to me, Father, help me to forgive. And Lord, where it is what I have done, would you please forgive me? And would you give me a clear out? Through Jesus I pray. Amen.